Okay, tonight I want to, the title of my sermon is Running to Win. Okay, and I want us to look at just goals and what does the Bible have to say about goals and expectations. I actually wanted to call my sermon Great Expectations, but then I came across a scripture and it said Run to Win, and that just sounded nicer to me because I like running. So same thing, but I want us to think about what are the things that we trust in God for? Why are we trusting God for them? And what is our expectation that we believe they're going to happen? Luke 8 verse 48, the woman who touched Jesus was made well. Just to give you a bit of background, Jesus was on his way to heal somebody, and on his way there were a lot of people pushing against him, and he said that he asked his disciples, "Who touched me?" And they all looked at him funny because there were lots of people that were touching him and pushing around him and everything. And he said, "I felt power going out of me." And basically, there was this woman who'd been sick for many, many years. And she touched Jesus out of faith. She just touched the hem of his garment and she believed that Jesus was going to heal her. And Jesus responded to her. Listen to what he said. He said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, why was this woman healed? Clearly, we can see her in Scripture. In this instance, it was because of her faith. And if you read the New Testament, you see a lot of instances where Jesus heals people. And he asks them, "What can I do for you?" And the blind man would say, "Lord, I want to receive my sight." Or the deaf person would say, "Lord, I want to hear again," whatever. And Jesus often said, "Your faith has made you well," or "According to your faith, it will be done to you." So we can see here there's scriptural evidence that our faith actually can result in healing. Now, my sermon isn't on healing tonight, but I just want to use that as an example. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So clearly faith plays a big role in our relationship with God. Now, just to share, just on the healing topic, when I was a young Christian, I remember once in church, they just gave opportunity for people to come forward for prayer. And they encouraged some of us just to go and pray with the people. So there was this one guy that had gone for a scan the previous week, and they found cancerous tumors in his lungs. And he was meant to be going to the doctor that week. So I just took a leap of faith, put my hands on the guy, prayed for him. And the next week in church, he testified and he said the scan showed that there were no more cancerous tumors. So the guy had been totally healed, and obviously that's a massive boost to your faith. And it's not, I don't want to say it to give myself credit, but just, you know, I've experienced this. I've seen this happening before, and I know that the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. And then after that, with the same amount of faith, I also prayed for people and they didn't get healed. And then you start asking yourself some questions and you start wondering, but is there something wrong with my faith that this person didn't get healed? Is there something wrong with a person's faith that they didn't get healed? Is there maybe an open door? Is there maybe sin in their lives? Is there maybe sin in my life? And you start asking yourself all these questions. And yes, they are valid questions, and they could all be valid reasons of why healing doesn't happen. But sometimes God chooses, or he permits, you know, things like this to happen because his plans are greater than our plans. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And if you look at somebody like Job, you know, God's original plan for the world was not for sickness and disease to be in the world. Okay? That wasn't God's plan. But the reality is that humans sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. And the reality is that sickness and sin did enter the world. The greater reality is that Jesus is greater than those sicknesses, and he can, and he wants to heal those sicknesses. But sometimes, for reasons we don't know, we can't always figure God out. He will allow and he will permit it. Like with Job, for example. Job wasn't immediately healed. But God had a greater plan through Job's sickness, and he was glorified at the end of the day. So, you know, sometimes our faith does get challenged when we don't see people healing. And I think sometimes it's even more challenging for the person praying than the person that's actually being prayed for if the healing doesn't happen. Now, I don't know who of you have heard of Smith Wigglesworth. He was a famous evangelist. I think he came from Bradford, that's up there in Yorkshire. And he, in his ministry, he saw many people being healed. And he even saw about 20 people being raised from the dead. Now, this guy obviously prayed for lots of people during his life and during his ministry. And he prayed for a lot more than 20 people to be raised from the dead. And obviously not everybody was raised from the dead. But think of what would have happened if he lost hope, if he'd become discouraged, and if he just decided, okay, you know, this isn't going to work, let's just leave us. Okay? He prayed, he continued praying. And not everybody that he prayed for got healed, but a lot of people did receive healing. I don't know who of you are familiar with the Vineyard group of churches. And the guy that founded it, there was also a strong emphasis on healing. But he actually said that only about 1 in 20 people that he prayed for got healed. Now, if you put that into a statistic, it's 5%. And, you know, that might seem quite low. But I just want to share something from my own life, like that I've noticed, the pattern that I've noticed when I'm praying sometimes. Like sometimes you'll come and you will have this expectation that God is going to heal somebody if you pray for them. And you pray for them and they might get healed and great, and your faith gets boosted. Then with the same faith, you pray for somebody and they don't get healed. And then that's all right, but then it happens again and again and again. And then pretty soon, your expectation drops and you expect that this person you're praying for is going to form, if you think in terms, this is just a stat, but you sort of think, okay, this person is probably one of the 95% that are not going to be healed. So you immediately lower your expectation. And now what's happening? You're not praying with faith. And faithless prayers are powerless prayers. Okay, the Bible talks in James about the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. So there is something like an effective prayer, and there is something like an ineffective prayer. And then when we start praying without faith, you know, God can do anything. It's not always dependent on our faith. God can heal somebody like that if he wants to, even if we don't have faith. But often our prayers are powerless, and often we see our prayers being unanswered when they're powerless because we don't have an expectation. And then what happens is we might even stop praying after a while. We might even think, okay, you know, guess what? God probably doesn't want to heal people. You know, why should I pray? And we actually give up praying. And that's when the devil has us exactly where he wants us. Because he wants us to be prayerless and he wants us to be powerless. Okay, so we need to watch out for that. The other extreme is what's called the prosperity gospel. Okay, who of you have heard of the prosperity gospel? Right, health and wealth. Now, the Bible does talk about God's blessings, that God wants to bless us, that God wants to heal us. But the prosperity gospel emphasizes the healing and the blessing and the prosperity and doesn't really touch on the suffering. Now, if you read the New Testament, you will read a lot about suffering, okay? And Jesus says that we can expect suffering. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, everybody that wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So it's not something we can ignore, but it is something that builds our faith. 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter was written to Christians who were suffering, and it was practical advice and practical tips on, you know, what they were to do when they were suffering and just telling us about the hope we have in Christ. So we can't take one bit and leave the other bit. Okay, we've got to read the Bible as a whole. Now, who of you have seen Way of the Master? Okay, Way of the Master. Right. So I'm gonna nab. I don't want to use the word steal because we're not supposed to steal, but I'm gonna use the information. So Warren, can you come up, please? Okay, now this is just an illustration. This is quite a powerful illustration for me. Okay, Warren, you are flying with Egypt Air. You're going on a nice holiday at the Red Sea. You're flying with Egypt Air, and there's a parachute for you. This parachute is going to bless you. Okay, it's going to make your flight very comfortable. People are going to think you look cool, and they say it's a chick magnet as well. So if you just put your parachute on, please. Okay, now Warren's going to go and sit down in his seat, and Yochi is the air hostess. Okay, now, or the air host, sorry, Yochi, the air host. Now, Warren, in the meantime, Warren's being pushed forward by this backpack. His knees are sort of drilling into the seat in front of him. It's very, very uncomfortable. And Yochi comes and asks whether he wants some tea. And unfortunately, he spills the tea on Warren's lap. Okay, what do you think Warren's reaction is going to be? Warren, are you happy?
No.
Okay, Warren isn't very happy. Right. Now, do you still want to wear this parachute? Do you think it's worth it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, wow, that's quite an interesting response. Right, now, Warren, actually, Warren, what you should have said was no, because it's making my flight really uncomfortable. You know, I look silly, I'm uncomfortable, and guess what? There are no girls coming after me. So I'm going to take the parachute off. Thank you, Warren. Okay, now Warren takes the parachute off. Now, Warren, come here again, please. Men in Black. I saw Men in Black, the new one, the other day. Okay, we'll just erase everything that happened in your memory. Okay, you're going to the Red Sea, to Egypt. Here's your parachute, but this is a dodgy plane, so the chances are 50% that this plane's going to crash. There's a parachute that's going to save your life. Okay. Same thing. Knees are hurting. Knees are sort of going into the front seat. Yochi comes again. Yochi asks if you want some tea.
Would you like some tea?
Okay, Yochi spills the tea. Right. Is Warren going to take the parachute off now? Why isn't he going to take the parachute off? Because it's going to save his life, probably. Okay, so even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's inconvenient, it's going to save his life. So no matter what happens on this flight, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how much persecution he gets, no matter how many funny stares he gets from the girls, he's going to carry on wearing this parachute because it's going to save his life. And the gospel is exactly the same, right? Jesus came to save us. And yes, there are benefits. God does want to bless us, okay? By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. The reality is greater. God is greater than the sickness, okay? And he can heal the sickness. The problem comes in what is our focus? Is our focus on the blessing or is the focus on Jesus? If the focus is on Jesus, then we're not going to take the parachute off. We're not going to leave the gospel when things don't go our way, okay? Because we love Jesus and we know what he's done for us. If we just focused on the blessings and the health and the wealth, and we do go through tough times, then guess what? Then we're going to become despondent and dejected. So what we can do sometimes is we can overreact to the prosperity gospel. And we've got to watch out because this is another trick of the devil. Okay? I spoke just now about unbelief and losing expectation. But what we can also do is we can harden our hearts towards God's goodness because of this. We can associate the word healing and blessing and even the word prosperity, which the Bible does use, we can associate it with the prosperity gospel. And as soon as we hear those words, our hearts become hard and we run away. And our hearts become hard and we might even not receive from God because of that. God is a good God. The Bible says that he's the Father of lights. And every good and perfect gift comes from him. Okay, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So God is a good God, is a good Father, okay? Luke 13 or Luke 11 says that, you know, no father will give their son a snake if he asks for a bread. How much more will your Heavenly Father not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So God is a good God, and sometimes what the devil does is he will cause us to overreact to something that's been twisted, to something that's been skewed, like the prosperity gospel. So just watch out for that as well. Now, if we look at the life of Jesus and the apostles, okay, we'll see that their lives were characterized by signs and wonders. There are lots of instances of healing in the Bible. Jesus even says in the Great Commission in Mark 16, he says, these signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons, they will lay hands on the sick, they will recover, they will speak in new tongues. He says in John 14 that we will do greater things than he did. Okay, in the book of Acts, you know, you can see so many signs and wonders that the apostles did. And the nice thing about the book of Acts is there's no formal ending. So we're not going to add anything to Acts, but it's still being written by us today. We're still in the same season. Some people say that the gifts of God were only for a certain season, but I don't read that in the Bible. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of us can testify that God does still heal today. And that, you know, he does still deliver people and he does still heal people. So it wasn't only for a season. But the thing is, what is our expectation? Is our expectation that you know, it's only for some people? Or is our expectation that it's for everybody that wants to take part in this? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not saying that the gifts are the be-all and end-all. Please, we shouldn't be focusing on the gifts. We shouldn't be chasing after the gifts. We should be following Jesus, because Jesus says these signs will follow those who believe. Okay, we're not meant to follow the gifts, we're meant to follow Jesus. But are we expectant that he's going to manifest it through us? Now, let's take an example. If I want to bless my wife Marika with a new car, for example, I'm going to make it a very deep symbolic example. Okay, let's say there's a desert and she's in the desert. And I say, right, here's a car for you. And she climbs into the car and she drives out of the desert. Her life has been saved. She's not going to die in the desert. She's got a new car. Great. She's been saved from death. Let's say, for example, I tell her, here's a new car for you with some extras, okay? There's an iPod connection with a nice sound system. There is a air conditioner and there's snow tires for you, okay? She might say, yes, please, thank you very much. Or she might say, well, you know what? You've already bought me this car. Do you really want to give me all of these extras? Are they really necessary? Now, if she doesn't want the extras, is that going to change my relationship with her? No, it's not. She's still my wife. I'm still going to love her. The only thing that's going to happen is she's going to miss out. Okay? She is not going to have aircon in the desert. Tough for her. She's not going to have a nice sound system. And we won't be able to go on our ski holiday to Switzerland because we don't have snow tires. Okay? So the thing is, exactly the same with God. Yes, he gives us salvation through Jesus, but he promises us so much more through the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to be better or worse Christians if we don't want these gifts and if we don't walk in them. But we're going to miss out. There's certain areas on earth in our lives that we're not going to be able to access for him. I've put on a picture of a mountain there. Okay? Right. So we can either choose. So many Christians choose to dwell in the lowlands of salvation, okay? When God is more for us. What is our expectation? And there's a missionary that went to China. His name is Arthur Matthews, and he said, we are only as victorious as we want to be. Beyond that, for some perverse reason, we will not stretch ourselves. Today, the message of victory is being misrepresented, cheapened, and diluted by Christians who are content with lowered standards and limited victory, because in their hearts, they do not really want victory. So do we really want victory? Okay? What is our expectation? Another evangelist, Randolph Bonke, he says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Rather despise the day of small expectations. So I'm going to challenge you this evening. What is your expectation? What is your expectation for God? It was so encouraging hearing those testimonies today and this morning in Weybridge. There were also awesome testimonies. And just about people with an expectation, okay, acting in faith, going out in faith and saying, Lord, you know, guess what? We might not have the means to bring Gibby's parents over, but, you know, we trust you. We've got an expectation that you're going to come through for us, that you're going to meet our need. And God met them in their place of need. Awesome testimony. Thank you guys for sharing that. And we can make a decision by the power of God not to be ordinary. Okay. Another thing is intentions. Now, I like running, and I read Runner's World this week. I read an awesome quote. It says that the desire to win means nothing without the desire to train. Anybody here that wants to do the Ironman? I know Gert and Mana, you quite keen. Not. Swim. Okay, you don't want to swim. Right, well, you want to do this canoe race in Canada, don't you? Okay, do you want to win the canoe race in Canada? Okay, they want to win the canoe race in Canada. Great stuff. We'll be watching you guys. Now, are you going to win the race if you're not going to train for it? Okay, I know you guys are super rowers, but you're probably not going to win if you don't train for it. You might not even finish if you don't train for it. So we can have this expectation, this great expectation of, and these great goals and awesome faith goals and everything. But if we don't have the desire to train, guess what? It doesn't really help us that much. So I want to look at some practical examples here. Maybe you are sitting in this place tonight and you are coming to church with an expectation. And you are coming to a home group with an expectation. And even in your workplace, and you're expecting God to move through you. Okay, and that's great, and I want to encourage you in that. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, you know, I'm coming to church, but it feels a bit dead. You know, I don't really feel I'm growing. I feel I'm standing still. And it might just actually be part of a routine that you do. Maybe you're coming because you were told it's one of the five things you need to grow as a Christian. You need to come to church. And that's why you come to church. And home group, you know, you've got to go to home group on a Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever you go. Great. But have you ever thought of why you do these things? And do you actually have an expectation when you come to church and when you come to home group? Or is it just part of a routine? And that's a challenge I want to throw out tonight. Because we can easily go through the motions. We can do things. We can get into a good routine and a good habit. And yes, you know, it is powerful to come together. Even if you don't have an expectation, it's still powerful to praise the name of God. It's still powerful to sit under the word because it does change us. But we will only grow as much as we want to grow. And if we come here without a goal, without an expectation, guess what? Not a lot's going to happen. Let me give you an example. I hope I don't get into trouble from the office. It's got a little smudge, this envelope, so I can probably use it. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see Jean-Louis and Colette, for example. Okay, thanks guys for your cooperation. For basically, Jean-Louis aimed over there. He aimed quite low, and what did he hit? What was the target? The floor. Okay, he aimed low, so he shot low. Nicolette, he's got a stronger throw than Jean-Louis, obviously, aimed high, and guess what? She shot high, okay? So there's an old saying that goes, aim low, aim high, shoot high. So our expectation is going to determine what's going to happen. If we come to home group with an expectation that, Lord, I trust you tonight that you're going to work through me, that I'm going to have a word for somebody, then guess what? That expectation is probably going to be met. Even if you haven't really operated in that before, put your faith out and trust the Lord. If you just go to home group or church and think, don't have a goal and just drift aimlessly, then you know you might still grow, but you're gonna be shooting low. So I want to encourage us to aim high. Going back to the practical bit, Hebrews 12 verse 1-3. Paul was quite a practical guy, or the writer of Hebrews here. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance a race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So how did Jesus endure? This is actually, it tells us a key to how Jesus actually endured the cross and all the suffering and the shame he went through. That was because he had something, he had joy set before him. He actually had this goal. He actually had this expectation of joy, of great joy, by doing what the Father said he was to do. The joy was being able to see millions and millions of people being brought into the kingdom of God through what he did. So he had this goal, and he knew that no matter what happens to him, he can endure it because of this goal that he had before him. Now, Paul also had a goal. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24-27. In the New English Translation, it says, do you not know that all the runners in a stadium compete, but only one receives the prize? So run to win. Each competitor must exercise self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run uncertainly or box like one who hits only the air. Instead, I subdue my body and make it my slave, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Are you guys awake? I know it's hot. I'm almost finished. Don't worry. We will see the start of the football. Just put it up here if you're still awake. Okay, great. Right, I just quickly want to make sure we're awake. I'll use my papers again. Right, Warren, please tell me you were aiming for this one. Thank you. Great. Otherwise, my example won't work. Now, what was I trying to illustrate through this? What did Jacobus hit when I asked him to throw something? Okay, he almost hit me, right? But he hit the floor. Was he aiming for the floor? No, not really, but it landed on the floor. Okay? What did Warren hit? The podium that he was aiming for. Okay? He hit what he aimed for. So the thing is what Paul is saying here, and goals are actually quite a biblical thing. He's saying here, run to win. Okay? Don't just enter a race and jog around the track. Actually run to win the race. He says, don't just punch the air like a boxer without a goal. He says, actually punch, pack some punch in what you do. You know, air guitar is great, but it doesn't compare to the real thing. You know, we've got to just have a goal. Otherwise, we're just going to be drifting aimlessly. And the same in our relationship with God. He says there, I do not run uncertainly or like one who hits only the air. In Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14, he also encourages us here, and he actually uses the word goal. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Right, so he had this goal, and he had to strip off everything that was holding him back to make sure he got there. What was this goal that he was actually talking about? 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8, he says there, I've fought the, this is at the end of his life, and it must be amazing to say that. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So the goal that Paul was talking about here was this crown of righteousness, okay? And goals are great things. And it's very practical to use in our sport and in our careers and in our studies. But we've got to think, what are our main goals? What's our main focus? What are the main things that we're aiming for in our lives? Is it only, if it's only going to be staying with, like Carrot said, with the temporal things here on earth, then guess what? Either our treasures are going to leave us, they might disappoint us, they might get stolen. If our treasures are people, you know, people do die, and they do get taken away from us. Or our treasures are going to lose us. We're going to leave our treasures here. We can't take it with us, okay? So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with setting goals for earthly things. I think it's great. But we've got to make sure that our hearts are right. We've got an innermost part of our hearts that belongs to God. And that's only going to be fulfilled if we give it to God. If we give it to anything else, guess what? We're setting ourselves up for disappointment. So I want us to be practical. I want us to set some spiritual goals tonight, individually and as a church. And I would like us to just to take some time out in a moment, but just to think of a few goals, a few things that you trust in God for in your life, okay? And I want us to be specific. I want us to think of three goals. One for your home group, because home group is where church happens, and two for yourself, for your own relationship with God. And just a few practical tips. Habakkuk, that's Yaku's, he wants to call his kids Habakkuk one day, or one of his, if he has a boy. Habakkuk 2 verse 1 to 3 says, write down the vision, okay, so that those who hear may run with it. Write down the vision. Now, a psychiatrist, I heard this stat the other day, they said 87% of what we believe comes by what we actually say to ourselves. So yes, obviously you'll hear it from other sources, but if you say it to yourself, it becomes reinforced, becomes a lot stronger. And there's a lot of scientific research that has been done on writing, the power of writing something down. And your chances of actually going through with something, following through with something, if you've written it down, are a lot greater. So the Bible also says it before all this research. It says write down the vision. Now, this vision refers to prophetic vision, but we can also relate it to this example, to these faith goals. The other one, measure your progress. Sorry, I'm jumping the second one, but measure your progress. It's good to have goals that are measurable. Now, I'm not going to go into, is it a SMART targets? Okay? It's an acronym for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, but we all know what's the football tonight, so I'm not going to go into that. But be able to measure your goals. Set a time, maybe 3 months, and say, Lord, I trust you for this thing, and in 3 months' time, I'm going to look back and see how I've grown in this. Now, I'm not saying we've got to set a deadline for God and say, you know, Lord, in 3 months' time, you have to do this for me. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying set a time and look back on that area that you trust in God to grow in 3 months' time. And if you see it, you haven't made progress, then you know, okay, I've got to go back to the drawing board. There's something wrong here. But it's good to measure it. Smith Wigglesworth, his period of measurement was 1 day. Okay, he said, and this is quite a hardcore quote, if you are in the same place today as you were yesterday, you're a backslider. That's quite a hard word. If you're in the same place today as you were yesterday, then you're a backslider. So, you know, there is quite some truth into what he says. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I felt quite unsaved when I read that. But the thing is, we're meant to be growing constantly. If our testimony stays the same as it was 5 years ago, guess what? We're not moving. We need to move. We need to grow. Okay? God wants us to grow. And then finally, put your faith in God that He will let that thing come to pass in your life. I'm not saying we need to go into works mentality now and set all these goals and try and do all these stuff for God, because our faith is meant to be simple. But there is a place to give us direction and just to set us in course in our relationship with God. And then when times get tough, like Jesus, we will know what the hope is that's set before us. We will know, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you for this thing. I want to become more like Jesus. You know, I want to grow in my relationship with whatever, but be specific in those goals. And Paul, what I love about Paul is he had this goal. His final missionary journey spoken of in the Bible is when he went to Rome. And that journey wasn't very easy. When he set out, he was in a massive storm. He got shipwrecked. He got washed up on a desert island, which is called Crete, which I think is quite a nice holiday that he got there. He got bitten by a snake. But then he just shook the snake off and he went on, like Jesus said, you'll be bitten by serpents, but it will not harm you. You know, he was thrown in prison, all of these things, all of these trials. But guess what? He got to Rome at the end of the day. He didn't give up because he had this focus and he knew where he was going. And Jesus would say he knew where he was going, but he also knew where he was coming from. So I want to encourage us tonight. And I really just want to encourage us just to put our expectations out there. Okay, God wants to do great stuff through us and in our lives. And I want to encourage you, if you feel stuck in a rut tonight, if you feel that I'm just going through the motions, I'm just coming to church, I'm not growing, you know, home group is just another thing to fill my week, then I want to encourage you to come with an expectation. And when you pray, I want to encourage you to put your faith, when you pray for somebody, put your faith, always pray as if that person you're praying for is going to be one of the 5% that's healed. Now, that's just a stat. It might be more that get healed. I trust God that God wants to heal us, okay? But sometimes He doesn't. But if He doesn't, don't get discouraged. When you pray for the next person, don't think this person is going to be one of the 95% that doesn't get healed. Put your faith in God that this person, every person you pray for is going to be one of the 5% that do get healed. And when our expectation is high, guess what? God is going to honor that. God is going to honor our faith. His ways are higher than our ways. He might not always answer our prayers in the way that we expect or the way that we want Him to. But don't let that discourage you. Don't let that cause you to dwell in the lowlands. Don't let that cause you to shoot low and to aim low. Always shoot aim high and shoot high. Okay, so I just want us to be practical tonight. Before we go and watch football, I just want us to write down three things. Write down those three things. Three things that you, faith goals or expectations, whatever you want to call it, but areas in your faith that you trust in God for, okay? One for your home group. And I want to encourage you this week, maybe go and share it with your home group facilitator. And just say, you know, we trust in God for this for our home group. Maybe to multiply in 3 months' time. Maybe to, I don't know, maybe for every person to be in a place where they can just grow in their gifts. But be specific. And as a home group, measure that in 3 months' time. Be accountable to each other. The personal ones, you know, be accountable to your husband or your wife or your housemate or your friends. And ask each other, how's it going in this area? And pray for each other in those things. So I really believe that God wants us to raise our expectations tonight. Right. Yeah, Jesus wants to be Jesus wants to be the first love of our hearts, and He wants us to give Him the innermost part of our hearts. And He is our exceedingly great reward. He is our treasure, as He said to Abraham, I'm your shield, I'm your exceedingly great reward. So Jesus is the ultimate goal. Jesus is the ultimate one we can set our expectations on. The Bible says in 1 Peter, rest your hope fully upon. We can rest fully upon the hope that is coming through Jesus. So I'd just like us to I'll give you another few seconds, and then I just want us to pray and to give this to the Lord. Yes, Father God, we just come to you tonight, Lord. And Father, we just want to come to you right now in faith, Father God. And Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done for us, God. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you, Lord God. And Father, I just want to pray for us tonight, God. I want to pray for those of us that, Lord, that maybe have become despondent and discouraged, God. Because maybe we've prayed for something or maybe we've prayed for somebody, but, you know, that thing hasn't happened that we've trusted you for, Father. And maybe our faith has grown cold. Maybe we've lowered our expectations and maybe we've even stopped praying, Father God. And I just want to encourage us, God. I just want to pray, Lord God, that you will encourage us and just come, Lord God. Just come and encourage us tonight, Father God, if we're in that place, Lord God. I want to pray for faith to rise up in this place tonight, Father God. I want to pray, Lord, that every time we pray, Father, that we will have an expectation of 5, Father God, on a scale of 1 to 5, that we will trust you every time, God, that our expectations will be high every time, Father God. And even if that expectation isn't met in the way we thought, Lord, I pray that we will not grow despondent, God. Because, Lord, you're a good God. And maybe some of us here tonight are even offended with the fact that you're a good God. Maybe it's the prosperity gospel and we just want to run away from the word blessing and healing, God. And I just want to pray, Father God, that we'll put our faith in you, Lord, tonight, God. That we will put our faith in your character, that you're a good God. And every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father God. So I just want to pray for those of us struggling with that tonight, Father God. And Lord, then I just want to pray for just for expectations, God, for home group and for church, Lord, and even for the UK, Lord God. Maybe, Lord, we're a lot of South Africans here, Lord, and maybe some of us are not planning to be here for that long, Lord God. But I just pray for our expectations for why we're here, God, to be right, Father God. That we will expect you, God, to do something through us, God, that we can leave a legacy here, God. Lord, for the people going back to South Africa, that they will have an expectation to leave a legacy, God. And Father God, I pray for the people that are living here, God, that are settled here, God, for the British people here, God. Lord, I just pray, Father, that they will have an expectation that you're going to work through them, God. Lord, we want to trust you for more British people, God. We have an expectation for more British people in this church, for more people from this country in this church, Father God. Lord, that, we just come to you. We put our faith out for that, Father God. Lord, we pray and we trust, Lord, that you will bring this church. You will take this church from glory to glory, Father God, in Jesus' name. I pray that we will not just be here, Lord, and just exist, God, and just live for whatever we're living for and come to church and come to home group and even come to intercession or whatever else we're doing, Lord, for you without an expectation, without a goal, Father God. Lord, I just pray if we're in that thinking, I pray that we will renew our minds. And just come and realign us to your priorities and your way of thinking, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, if you'd like to respond to that, if you'd like pray for anything, we'd love to pray for you, me and whoever else. If we're quite a few people, and I just really want to encourage us to put our faith out, to have an expectation. That God is going to meet, that we will aim high. You know, it's that old thing of aim for the stars, and even if you miss, you at least you'll land on the moon. But, you know, just let's put our faith out for whatever we trust in God for and have an expectation. Thank you.